Rishus Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbanim. A few years ago, Rabbi Olshin, myself, and I think Rabbi Ifro were at a night panel, one mishmar. I think it was the end of the first half of Shana Bet. And we were kind of giving parting words or questions that they were asking us and about what to do when they leave and they go on to college, wherever they were going. And one of the boys asked a very interesting question. He said, you know, if you can give two words as a message to us before we leave, what would they be? What would be those two words? So it's on the spot. It's a little bit hard on the spot to give a message of two words. But Baruch Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me an idea of what to say to them. The message was as follows. It came to my way. Rabbi Olshin said something I'm sure was cynical and funny. And then it was my turn. And I said to him, you know, the two words that I would think would be that you matter. You matter. A person should never think, chas v'shalom, that they're just a number, another a statistic. They're a number amongst many, many other people. And they're not chashuv, they're not important. People get lost when they go on, and they leave yeshiva, they go on, they say, what can I do, what can I accomplish, what am I, I'm only one of many. And the answer to that is not true at all. I'm going to prove it to you, from this week's parsha. Okay, game over. 100%, 100%, I'm going to bring that raya, and others, hopefully.
I'll bring you more rayas, too.
we'll see afterwards, Rez. My father and I, Baruch Hashem, are very close. And one of the ways that my father kept us very close over many years, my grandfather included, was football, Sunday football. It was an unbelievable experience for me growing up. I had the schus of watching football with my father and also my grandfather, which was an experience that we all have, we all know, hopefully. Schus. It was bonding. Was it able to bond with your father, with your grandfather, things that they're interested in at the time that I was interested in. So my father still thinks that I'm very interested in it, and a little bit I am. As Chatasi Nimaski Ayom, as Rosh Yeshiva says. So my father came for Pesach, and he was telling me about the upcoming upcoming NFL draft, where they draft players to be the next year's players for the teams. My father's telling me they had the draft, and that the Eagles, the Philadelphia Eagles, were in. They got the number two draft spot. How they did it, I don't know. I don't really care. But my father was very excited about it, and so I was excited as well. And my father told me that they have a guy from Carson Wentz from North Dakota State University. North Dakota State University. Never heard of before until this year. So my father was telling me that, you know, they had the number two spot, and the Eagles at the end of the day got him. Very nice. So we'll see what happens next year. Probably not much, knowing my history, but we'll see what happens. But I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about how everybody gives so much chashivas to this guy, so much importance to this guy, that he's the number one or number two quarterback in the country, and he was picked number two in the draft. And I was thinking to myself, what's the difference, or you could ask yourself, what's the difference between this number one and number two quarterback, and let's say the guy, the number seven quarterback, the quarterback is going to be picked in the third draft. Well, what's the difference? If we could crystallize what the difference between the better quarterback and the other quarterback that might be picked in the second draft or the third draft, what would it be? So obviously you would say that the first quarterback that's picked in the first draft has everything that you would want: a strong arm, precision, he's know-how, he's knowledgeable, smart, tall, and the guy and he can do everything, and he can do everything that somebody in the second draft cannot do. He could do something. He could do everything that a guy in the second draft can do. The first guy for sure could do, and more. So if you have a guy, if you put the top quarterback, you have no reason to have somebody who is of a lesser quality. That's not at all what Yiddishkeit is about, at all. There's no such thing as a first pick, a second pick, a first round, a second round, and a third round. It doesn't work like that. And here's what I'll prove it to you. In this week's Parsha is Bamidbar. So we have the Torah telling us, picking the names, the shemos of the shvatim, and counting all of Klal Yisrael. And the Torah goes on to tell us that Moshe and Aaron were commanded in making the census. So the question is a little strange. Why do they need Moshe and Aaron to make the census? Why can't you just go take a few schnooks, go around, like they do on Sunday mornings, Sunday afternoons in America? They give you the sheet, and you go and you tell me people are in your house. They probably do it online now, but when I was growing up, I remember they used to go around and they used to fill out a sheet. How many people are in your house? Why did it have to be that Moshe and Aaron were the people that are picked for this task? It doesn't seem very, very important. So it must be that there is something of great importance in counting Klal Yisrael. Question number one. Question number two is that later on in the parasha, a few psukim later, it talks about the encampments of Klal Yisrael. Once they're picked, how they're situated, how they encamp. And the Torah tells us Sviv Ohel Moed Yachanu, that they have to be encamped around the Ohel Moed, around the Ohel Moed. What's the importance of that? So it's really two questions. Question number one: why is it so important that Moshe and Aaron go and pick and take a census? Number two: what's the importance of being Sviv Ohel Moed Yachanu? What's the importance of being surrounded by the Ohel Moed? So I think the answer is really a pasuk in Shir Hashirim. And a medrash on that pasuk. The pasuk says, "Shuvi shuvi ashulamis, shuvi shuvi nechzabach matechasu b'shulamis kemachalos hamachanayim," which means that literal translation is the perfect ones should turn away, and the goyim are telling Bnei Yisrael that we're going to make you generals, we're going to make you chashuv. Don't look at your perfection. And the Klal Yisrael answers back, "No. We at least have the fact that we are surrounded like a circle in the Midbar." So the Medrash says, what's going on here? What's this exchange between the Ummah Sa'olam, the non-Jews, and the Jews, that the non-Jews are trying to woo the Jews and say, come, come visit us, come be with us. And the Jews respond and they say that, no, we'd much rather, we don't want to be with you because we have the ability, we have the option to be in a circle, like a machol, a circle in the Midbar. So what's the significance of this? So let's go shlav, stage by stage. So what's the importance of Moshe and Aaron going and counting Klal Yisrael? So the word mispar, number, the shoresh, I saw Rav Spiro brings down in one of his svarim, the shoresh of mispar is very dome, is very like the word sapir. Sapir is sapphire, something that shines. That when a person is counted alone, he has the ability to be on his own and to shine, to be unique, as like a sapir, like a sapphire. Each individual, each mispar of Klal Yisrael has that ability to shine on his own. So Moshe and Aaron taking a census is not just taking a number and seeing how many people live in the community, how many people live in the state, how many people live in the country. It's not what Moshe and Aaron were doing. Is maybe you could say, you can understand that Moshe and Aaron were teaching a very important lesson to Klal Yisrael. That when Moshe and Aaron go and take each individual and can count each individual, they're telling each person that you're a sapir, that you're important, that you're chashuv. And don't just think because at the end of the day that there's 600,000 plus of us here, it means that you're not chashuv, that you're going to be lost in the crowd. Not at all. You're very chashuv. That's why the osios of Yisrael is an acronym for Yeshishim Riba Osios LaTorah. Right? Each Yid, each Jew, is another Os in the Torah. And just like we know in Hilchos Sefer Torah, that if one letter is missing in the entire Sefer Torah, what's one letter at the end of the day? One letter is missing in the entire Sefer Torah, the Sefer Torah is pasul. Not only that, there are halachas in Hilchos Stam that one letter cannot touch another letter on any side, top, bottom, on both sides. And one letter cannot touch another letter. Each letter has to be on its own. Why? Because each letter is unique. And each yid, that which is represented by a letter in the Torah, is chashuv. So you can't be, everybody has to be on their own. Everybody has to be on their own, but they also have to be part of the greater good. They also have to be part of the Sefer Torah. And if they're missing, the Sefer Torah is possible. That's why there's no such thing as a second or first round quarterback in Judaism. Everybody's kosher. Everybody's a starter. Everybody has their own chelek in Klal Yisrael. And everybody else, everybody's a sapir. Everybody's a sapphire. That's what Rosh Shiva said before. The Mishnah, we've all learned, I hope, by now. In Lamed Zayin, the Mishnah says that the fikach, that Adam was created alone, is created yichidi. You can ask, it's a little strange. Why does it have to be that way? Why didn't God just go and create like billions of people at one time? Right, maybe not billions of people, right? Why didn't he just create many, many people at one time? Instead, he created Adam HaRishon, and everybody has to come from Adam HaRishon. Why does it have to be that way? So the Mishnah tells us, because for two things. First of all, kol mekayim nefesh achas b'Yisrael, kilu kayim olam malei. So if a person saves another Jew, Yisrael, he's killing his mekayim an entire world, because we see that Adam HaRishon represents an entire world. So each person, each individual is an entire world on their own. Second of all, the fika kol echad v'echad chayv lomar b'shvili nivra olam, as Rosh Shiva said. And a person has to believe that every single person has to say to himself that the whole world should be created for me. I could use the whole world. It's worth it for Kadosh Baruch Hu to create the entire world just for me. It doesn't specify who it is. You don't have to be a Rosh Hashiva. You don't have to be a Talmid Chacham. You don't have to be a great tzaddik. Every single person has the ability, has the right, and should say Chayav Lomar. The Mishnah says Bishvili Nivra Olam. Rashi says on that Mishnah that the person has the importance of the entire world. Every single person, no matter where you go, no matter what you're doing, every single person has the chiyuv, has the obligation to believe that they are as important as the entire world. Revolvi says in Ali Shor, in this Mishnah, he says, just think about it. It's an unbelievable opportunity, an unbelievable uniqueness that we have, that every single person, it's a one-time phenomenon. Binyamin Stamen over here is living now, and that's it, and then he's finished after whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me. Right? And the reason I'm in my family is for a very specific reason. The reason why you're in your family is a very specific reason. And it's never going to happen again. Your situation is never going to happen. You're never going to be replaced. So you're very, very unique. A person has to believe that they're here for a purpose. They're not here. They're not just a number. They're in this current situation that they are in for a very, very important reason. And it's their job, with the Eitzah, with the advice of their parents and of the Rabbanim, and of the old seichel, to figure out what do I have to do in this world that I'm not going to think that I'm just a number and I'm not important. And if I do something that's right, it's of great importance to the entire world. And chas v'shalom the other way. If I do something that's wrong, if I make a wrong decision, if I make a bad decision, so that's going to affect the entire world because I am an entire world unto myself. And that's an obligation that we have to believe in. Our value is only valuable as long as we try to be the Tzelem Elokim, be like the Kadosh Baruch Hu created us and infused us with. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a part of himself, he gave us a neshama, a part of himself. Our ability to be that unique person and that individual, be successful, is only if we can reach the level of a Tzelem Elokim. A person has a choice how he can evaluate himself. Like if you look in the secular world, right, you have a choice. You can either not evaluate yourself at all and do whatever you want to do without having to answer to anybody, and that's fine in their world. Or you could give yourself value based on certain characteristics, based on certain qualities. Right? A person can say, how many pieces of green paper do I have? Maybe if I have a lot of pieces of green paper, so then I'm very, very important. And then a person feels that if he doesn't have a lot of green papers, then he's not as important. That's your option. You can evaluate yourself like that, but you'll feel very, very bad about yourself if you're not able to ascertain, if you're not able to get to that level of having many, many, as the Rosh Hashiva says, greenbacks. Okay? That's your option. A person can give and say to himself, if I'm able to shoot a ball through the hoop, so then I'm going to be very, very, successful. And then a person who can't do that is going to feel bad about himself. So I feel bad about myself. If a person would say that, you know, height is of importance, then I'll feel very good about myself. If a person would say that, you know, making a lamp is very important, so I might not feel so good about myself. But that's an option. It's a silly option. It's a silly option because it's a recipe for disaster, because nobody's perfect and you're never going to get to that level. So it's kind of a recipe for disaster. However, the Torah is not like that. The Torah tells us that as long as a person believes that he's a Tzelem Elokim, so he has an intrinsic value. No matter what he can or cannot do, it doesn't matter. Once the fact that you're alive, that you're here, and you're picked as a Yid, as a Jew, so that means that you're a Tzelem Elokim. Every person is Tzelem Elokim, but that means that you're very, very unique, and that means you have a tremendous value. It means that you have the ability, as long as you abide by the Torah laws, that to be a tremendous mensch. I was once by a famous mashgiach in Yerushalayim. His name is Rav Leichter. He's a Swiss Talmud Volbi, very, very chashuv Talmud Chacham. And he once said a beautiful thing, and I never thought about it until he told it to the class that he was teaching. He said he was once in America, and I guess he was collecting money for some institution, and they were talking about the wealthy man that they had to go collect money from, they're about to go collect money from. So he was listening to a conversation. He was there with two other Americans. So one American said to the other, "How much is this guy worth that we're going to? How much is he worth?" So Rav Leichter didn't understand the question. He's Swiss. He's from Switzerland. So his English is not perfect. But he couldn't understand the question. He says to the guy, What does it mean that how much is he worth? What's the question? I don't understand the question. What's he worth? What does it mean how much is he worth? So everybody in this room obviously understands that the one American was asking to the other one, how much money does this guy make? How much is he, how much is he worth? But Rav Leichter in his tamimus, in his purity, couldn't understand. He said to the guy, "I don't understand. What do you mean? How much is he? He's priceless. He's a Yid. He's a Jew. He's here. He's unique. He has a job in this world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created him for. So he's priceless. What does it mean that how much is he worth?" And it's true. How do we put a price tag on somebody to be mizalzel a person by asking how much is he worth when we should really be saying that he's priceless? The idea of our job is the fact that we have to believe that we have the ability to create ourselves, to make ourselves mentioned, to make ourselves people. This unbelievable story that I read from Respiro after the Shoah, after the Holocaust. And I want to read some of it inside because it's a very, very powerful story. There was a Rav Gershon Libman. He started a yeshiva called Navardik in France, in Paris. And right after the war, he wanted to go and rebuild Yiddishkeit, rebuild all of the B'nai Yeshiva that survived the war. He wanted to go and put them in this yeshiva and rebuild the yeshiva. So he had no money. Nobody had any money in those days. So he went to the Joint Distribution Committee, the JDC, to get money from them. So he goes in front of the JDC, waiting for a long time because there are many people who wanted money for various causes. And he wanted for the yeshiva. So he goes in front of this panel of people. And he goes in front of them and he describes what he wants to do. He wants to start a yeshiva. He wants to bring in all of the boys that were the survivors of the war to come in to rebuild their lives. So the head of the committee said, "No, what do you mean? I don't want them to become, as they call in Yiddish, bankel kvetchers. I don't want them to be sitting on benches doing nothing. If you want money, you're going to have to create people that are going to be lawyers and doctors and accountants. To have people just to be B'nai Yeshiva, that's a waste of time. I'm not giving you money. We don't need those type. So Gershon was very upset. He walked out. He thought for a minute. He goes back in. He storms back into the room and he says, "Fine, you don't have to give me money. But don't ever say that a yeshiva does not create mensch. Don't ever say that B'nai Yeshiva, somebody sitting and learning, somebody who's trying to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not called a mensch. We create mensch." And he said, "Yeah, let me tell you a story." He said, Rav Gershon also survived the Holocaust. He said, "I want to tell you a story of how B'nai Yeshiva are mensch." He said, "It used to be that when we were in the camps, in order to get food, we were able, the Nazis, in their evil schemes, what did they do? They had that all of the people, in order to get a bowl of soup, they had to walk up a hill. In the night, in the winter time, they had to walk up a hill, and they were able to get the soup, and then they had to go and they had to eat it down the hill. And obviously, they were so weak, they would slip, they would spill the soup. By the time they got to the bottom, they had a half a bowl of soup left, if that. And they would starve even more than they were able to. And one day, a bunch of B'nai HaYeshiva, Yeshiva Bacharim, that were trying to get their food or bring it down, and they saw there was an older man that basically was giving up. He's like, I can't do this anymore. And they're trying to prod him on, and we were trying, and Rav Gershon says about himself, we're trying to prod him on and trying to give him a little bit of food, a little bit of our soup, trying to get him to go up the hill and down the hill. And we weren't successful. He's giving up. He was basically in his last moments. And lo and behold, we go and we see that there's a man who's coming down successfully the hill with two bowls of soup. He's coming down with two bowls of soup. So we go over to him and we say, please, sir, we're trying to help this guy, this older man survive. Can you please give him one of your bowls of soup? And the man said, no way. It's each man for himself in this time. I'm not giving you anything. And he storms away and he walks away. And lo and behold, the older man died a few hours later. So Rav Gershon Liman said, don't tell me that B'nai Yeshiva aren't mentioned. I was there and I was trying to do everything to help this guy survive a few more hours. And you're telling me that B'nai Yeshiva aren't mentioned? They're trying to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Doesn't make you a person? Doesn't make you a great person? So the man started to cry. The man who was head of the JDC, who was in charge of the money, started to cry. And he said as follows. He says, I couldn't help it. I couldn't help it. I was so hungry, I could have only thought about myself at that time. I needed those two bowls of soup. I felt terrible about it afterwards. There's nothing I could do. I'm selfish. I needed those two bowls of soup. And you're right. The B'nai Yeshiva were the mention. Even in times of darkness like that, they were able to shine forth. They were the sapir. They were the sapphires. They were the mention. You're right. Unbelievable hashgacha pratis. This guy was the person who was head of the JDC. He was the person that was taking the soup for himself. And he ended up giving Rav Gershon the money, and he was able to establish a Nevardik yeshiva in Paris. That's what it means to be a ben yeshiva. That's what it means to be unique, to understand that you have a job. You have to understand that you're the reason why you're in this world, and you're here to do something, you're here to do something very special, no matter who you are, no matter where you are. What was the significance? Let's go back, we'll end with this. What was the significance of the fact that Klal Yisrael are in a circle, like the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim says, that they were in a circle in the Midbar? What's the significance of that? What was Shlomo HaMelech trying to tell the non-Jews? What was the discussion between the Jews and the non-Jews? The non-Jews saying, come join us, and the Jews saying, no, we're not going to join you. We have the significance of being a circle in the Midbar. What significance is that? So the Maharal in Baragola says as follows. He says, what's the significance of being in a circle? It goes as follows. A person who's in a circle, when you make a circle, if you take yourself out, the circle breaks. Yeah, there's no continuum. As long as everybody who needs to be in that circle is in the circle, there's a continuum, and it goes and it goes and it goes and it continues to go and it continues to go. And one person follows after another. However, unlike a square, let's say, a person could be in the corner, another person could be in another corner, they'll be very, very, very far away from the center. It's possible to be far away from the center. However, when you're in a circle, everybody's equidistant from the center, from the middle of the circle. Right? Every single person is very, very important in the circle. Every single person is equal. There's no one person who's greater than the other one because everybody has a spot in that circle. Kol zman, as long as you take part in that circle, you're chashuv. And not only are you chashuv because you're in the circle, but you're also equidistant to the center, to the merkaz, to the shechina, because you're a yid, because you're a Jew. That's what the Maharal says. As long as we take this idea that we're part of, that we're in the circle, and that we realize that the center of the circle, the merkaz, the center, is the shechina, so that gives a special uniqueness to every single person that they're able to go and do their job properly. And we'll end with one mishnah. It's in the middle of almost at Shavuos. So there's a minhag to do in Perkei Avos every single week. So in the first paragraph of the famous mishnah says, "Amen ani lemili k'ashari latzmi ma'ani v'imlo achshav v'imatan." So a beautiful pshat is as follows: "Amen ani lemili." Everyone has their chelik in avodas Hashem. "Amen ani lemili." If I'm not here, who's going to be able to do that chelik that is mine? Everybody has the chelik. You give up your chelik, you make a bad decision, that chelik is lost. There's nobody that could replace that. Nobody could fill in that circle. You're finished. You've messed everybody else over. You made a bad decision. There's no replacing you. However, says the Mishnah, "Kesha'ani latzmi ma'ani." Right? If I'm for myself, then what am I? I need to be part of the klal. It's not enough to know that I have a chelek and to do something as an individual, but a person also has to bring himself into the klal. Kishani latzmi ma'ani. V'imlo achshav ematai. And if I don't make that decision right now, it's a day in and day out decision. It's every single minute, every single moment, a person has the ability to make decisions. Are you going to be a mensch? Are you not going to be a mensch? Are you going to fulfill the job that you have? Or you're not going to fulfill that job that you have? Let us be zochem, Yirtzeh Hashem, to take the lessons of Parshas Bamidbar and to show the world, show ourselves and show the world that Taka B'nai Yisrael are mensch. Have a good day.